Hare Krishna. This is a very happy day for me to see this beautiful new temple developing and all of you coming together as such a beautiful devotional family at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada under the guidance of Vaisheshika Prabhu, Nirakamla Devi, Satyadev Prabhu, Akuranath Prabhu, Jagarini Devi, Kanka Devi, and everyone else. This temple is like a beacon of transcendental light in the darkness of today's world. And thank you for being a part of it. And thank you for allowing me to be a part of a part, a servant of a part of a part. We just came from an event. I don't know where we were, but we were at an event. And we immediately from one to another. So I asked my dear godbrother Vaisheshika Prabhu, when we just arrived at your parking lot, is there any particular topic I should speak on tonight? And what did you say? Raghunath Das Goswami. So I thanked him for giving me time to prepare. It's a very deep subject, actually. I believe you've been having every Sunday discussions on the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And tonight, the scheduled discussion is on our Prayojana Acharya, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. With the little time we have, I'd like to just focus on a few aspects of his life which are very instructive to us. How many of you have been to Adi Saptagram? Vaisheshika Prabhu, you have been? Adi Saptagram? Okay. Between Calcutta and Srimayapur Dham, just a little ways off the road, is a place called Adi Saptagram. It's a cluster of several villages that have been there for a very long time. And a great devotee of Nityananda Prabhu named Udharan Dutt Thakur lived right there in Adi Saptagram. And one of the villages is named Krishnapur. And that was the birthplace of Raghunath Das Goswami. His father, Hiranya or Govardhan Majumdar, and father, Hiranya Majumdar, they were extremely wealthy landowners. They were called zamindars. Because in those days in India, the emperor had under him various kings. And the kings had their local kings, and they were the zamindars. That means they were the owners of vast amounts of land. And everyone in the sphere of their area had to pay them taxes, and was basically, they had the power to make laws. And they would give a certain amount of their taxes to the king, a percentage. So by today's comparison, his father and uncle were like billionaires. They had vast treasuries of money, influence, and power. And the other brother, actually the elder brother was Hiranya, and Raghunath's was Govardhan's father. Hiranya had no children, and Govardhan only had one son. So he was the heir to the entire fortune. And this was happening over 500 years ago in India, when it was very serious. All the fortune of the father went to the heir. So he was like a prince. He was going to be the next king. He didn't need any elections or campaign managers or anything. It was for sure. His father and uncle were actually sincere devotees of Krishna. They used to give a lot of donations to Advaitacharya, even Jagannath Mishra. They were very, very charitable and very devotional. But at the same time, they were very much entangled in their materialistic affairs. Their family priest was named Balaram Acharya, and their guru was Yadunandan Acharya. Yadunandan Acharya was a very close associate of Basudev Dutt and also Advaitacharya. So one time, Haridas Thakur, he was just in Benapol, which is today Bangladesh, and a very, very envious person named Ramchandra Khan, he saw that Haridas, he was an untouchable by caste, but he lived in the forest just wearing a kopan, a little loincloth, and he would chant the holy names of Krishna day and night, and more people were coming to him to become their guru. And Ramchandra Khan was a very wealthy, scholarly person. He could not tolerate this. How is it that an outcast is more popular than me? So he tried to destroy Haridas Thakur. That's another story. He sent a prostitute to somehow or other corrupt Haridas's life in the middle of the night. But eventually, the prostitute became his disciple and gave away all her wealth and came to live in Haridas Thakur's little forest hut to chant 300,000 names every day and worship Tulsi. And now she became a famous saint, even more famous than Ramchandra Khan. And Haridas said, "You take my hut, I will go." And he left. And he came to Krishnapur. Specifically, he came to a village near Krishnapur called Chandpur. And there, Balaramacharya and Yadunandan Acharya, they understood that Haridas was such a saint. So they gave him a nice cave to live in, because that's what he liked to do, live in caves. And they were arranging for Haridas to give lectures on pure bhakti and on the glories of the holy name. Yadunandan brought Raghunath Das Goswami when he was just a little boy, maybe 5 years old, to have the darshan of Haridas Thakur. Raghunath was so affected. He was living in tremendous luxury, opulence. And here he was visiting a man in a cave. He and his family and everyone else Raghunath was associated with wearing the finest clothes and jewels. And here was a man just with a piece of cloth wrapped around his waist. And he, day and night, chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And even though this person was abused and persecuted and hated by so many people because of his caste and because he kind of changed his religion, Raghunath saw he's the wealthiest, most fearless and happy person I've ever seen. I want what he has. This is very rare. In the very core of the altar of his heart, he enshrined this aspiration. I want what Haridas Thakur has. He has love for Krishna. He has the taste for chanting Krishna's name with pure love. And he spent as much time with Thakur Haridas as he possibly could. And when he was brought home, he never forgot that. Some years later, when he was a young man, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas. He went on a journey from Puri to Vrindavan. But somehow or other, he only made it to Ramkeli. And he was returning back. He stopped in Shantipur, where Sri Advaitacharya was staying. And Raghunath Das Goswami begged permission to go to Advaita's house to see Lord Chaitanya. Now there was crowds and crowds of people. And Advaitacharya, because Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle were so charitable to help him in every way, and Raghunath was such a saintly boy, Advaita Prabhu brought Raghunath to Lord Chaitanya. And Raghunath, so bad, he wanted to escape from his family, to give his body, mind, words, and life to be a Goswami in the service of the Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, do not be a Markata Vairagya. Vairagi. That means a monkey. Renunciate. We've been talking about monkeys lately. The nature of a monkey, have any of you ever done a study of monkeys? Well, I actually have. Takes one to know. Lord Chaitanya explained to Raghunath Das Goswami that monkeys, they don't wear any clothes. They live in trees. They just eat whatever berries are around. So they appear very renounced, but they're always thinking of enjoying with a monkey of the opposite sex. So this is monkey renunciation. In our hearts, we're very much thinking of sense enjoyment and very much eager to get it, even though we're renouncing so many things. He said, just go home and be patient. You see, Raghunath, he had already met Lord Chaitanya once, and he decided to go to Vrindavan. Actually, he decided to go to Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya there. And he was trying in every possible way to escape from his home, to serve the devotees in Puri. But every time his parents would have guards literally capture him and bring him home. And then he'd run away and they'd capture him and bring him home. Capture him and bring him home. Lord Chaitanya said, "Don't be a monkey sannyasi. Stay at home and pretend to be completely absorbed in your materialistic activities. But in your mind, always be remembering Krishna. And in due course of time, Krishna will deliver you." So this went on for some time. And Raghunath came to the conclusion, without the blessings of Lord Nityananda, without the blessings of the Guru, one cannot reach Krishna. So he heard news that in a place not too far away, Panihati, on the bank of the river Ganges, Lord Nityananda with his close associates were residing, the house of Raghava Pandit. So Raghunath got permission from his father, and there were all these guards and everybody with him to make sure he came home. And they went to Panihati. When he arrived, he saw Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram himself, the original spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of mercy, compassion to everyone without discriminating who is fit or unfit. Raghunath had heard the story of how Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagai and Madhai. They were murderers, thieves, rapists. They were burning people's houses down. They were constantly drunk. And they were so evil that even when Nityananda Prabhu came to them to try to give them mercy, they were so angry that Madhai took a pot and smashed him on the head. When Lord Chaitanya heard about that, he came to the scene angry as fire and called upon his Sudarshan Chakra to punish them. But Nityananda Prabhu, whose head was split open and whose clothes and body was covered with his own blood, he stopped Lord Chaitanya and he prayed to him, "If ever I have done anything to please you, just give me one blessing in return. Forgive them and give them love for Krishna." Lord Chaitanya was angry. Raghunath said, "But Jagai stopped Madhai from hitting me a second time." And Lord Chaitanya, "Oh," he said, "Jagai, you protected Madhai. You are my life. I mean, you protected Nityananda, I'm sorry." And he manifested his form of Vishnu to Jagai, who fell to the ground unconscious, and then Lord Chaitanya placed his foot on Jagai's heart. And Jagai looked up at this beautiful darshan and was crying. And he was given ecstatic love for Krishna, the ultimate goal of life. And Madhai saw this, and he knew that he was about to be killed and his brother was just liberated. So he said to Lord Chaitanya, "Whatever I've ever done, he's done. And whatever he's ever done, I've done. So if you've given him mercy, you should give me mercy." And Lord Chaitanya said, "No, You hurt Nityananda. He protected Nityananda. Therefore, you must be punished. And Nityananda Prabhu prayed, please bless him. Give him your love. If you're going to kill Jagai and Mai, if you're going to kill Madhai, you might as well destroy the whole planet, because in Kali Yuga, everyone's more or less like that. Nityananda was crying and begging for Lord Chaitanya to forgive Madhai. Well, he was still bleeding. And Lord Chaitanya looked at Jagai and said, if Nityananda forgives you, only then can I. So he fell at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu picked him up and embraced him and offered him at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya said, if you promise that you will never engage in any of these mundane sinful activities again, and if you live in a spirit of service and chant the holy names of Krishna, I will give you love of God. And Madhai agreed. And that night, Jagai and Madhai were dancing as like humble blades of grass. That was their consciousness. They were dancing and singing in the kirtan of all the associates of the Lord. So Raghunath Das Goswami was so humble. If even Jagai and Madhai reached Lord Chaitanya's mercy by Nityananda's grace, let me take shelter of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda was under a big, beautiful banyan tree, sitting on a rock with many of his closest associates. Sundarananda, Abhiram Thakur, Gadadhar Das, Udharan Das Thakur, Raghavap, they were all there assembled. And Raghunath offered his obeisance. He bowed down from a distance because he was so humble. And one person said to Nityananda Prabhu, there is Raghunath bowing at a distance. And Nityananda called out, Raghunath, you are a thief. You are keeping a distance. Now come here. I am going to punish you. My punishment is that you should feed all my devotees and everyone else in this area with chitta dahi, with yogurt and chipped rice. Raghunath was very happy. He was so happy because he was a very wealthy man. He got all this chipped rice. Would you like to hear the details, or should I fast forward? Okay. He got big, big clay pots. And one clay, in these clay pots, he filled with hot milk. And then he would put the chipped rice and soak it in the milk so it got really soft. Otherwise, chipped rice is really hard. And then, after it was soaked, it was very soft. And then he had other big pots. One was filled with yogurt. Of course it was ahimsa yogurt. Yogurt and sugar and bananas, special bananas. And the other half of the chipped rice was in condensed milk with camphor. It was sweetened with natural sugars. And it had special bananas too. And then he gave everybody two clay pots. One with chipped rice in dahi and one in condensed milk. And all the devotees were sitting on that raised platform with Nityananda with their two little pots. And then more people heard about it. And they came, and they were all given clay pots. They were sitting on the bank of the Ganges, sitting around the trees, and they were sitting in the hills. And soon thousands and thousands of people were coming, and Raghunath was having his assistants going to all the villages around to get every grain of chip rice that there was. And he was buying all these fruits and all these sweets, and he was just serving it all out to everybody. And soon so many people came. They lined the hills. They lined the forest. They were on the banks of the Ganges, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people standing in the Ganges with two pots. And Lord Chaitanya, who was living in Puri, he was so happy. Nityananda Prabhu knew this will make him so happy. Nityananda Prabhu prayed, Lord Chaitanya, come and join this festival. And he came, but nobody saw him. Only Nityananda Prabhu saw him and a few very special devotees. And Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya went to each devotee's pot and put chipped rice in each other's mouths. So it was really Mahaprasad. And they were doing this to celebrate the genuine spirit of service of Raghunath Das Goswami. While they were all eating all this chipped rice, Raghava Pandit showed up. And he said, Nityananda Prabhu, I invited you to my house for prasad, and I cooked a whole feast for you. And we're waiting and waiting and waiting, and I come here, and now you're with thousands of people eating chipped rice. Nityananda Prabhu said that I am just a cowherd boy, and cowherd boys like to have picnic on the bank of the rivers in the forest. He said, I'll come to your house tonight and we'll have Sankirtan. So Raghunath Das Goswami was given the Mahaprasad of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And that night there was a beautiful kirtan. And the next morning Nityananda Prabhu met with Raghunath Das Goswami. Nityananda put his head on Raghunath's, his feet on Raghunath's head. And Raghunath prayed for one blessing. Please free me from the clutches of materialistic attachment and allow me to have shelter of Lord Chaitanya's loving service. And Nityananda Prabhu said, because you have pleased all the devotees by serving them chipped rice, Lord Chaitanya is very pleased with you. And he told all the devotees, bless Raghunath Das, and everyone shower their blessings upon him. Then Nityananda said, because you have served the devotees and received the blessings of the devotees, very soon you will be the personal assistant of the secretary of Lord Chaitanya, Swarup Damodar Goswami. And all your impediments will be gone. Raghunath Das Goswami went back to his home after giving gifts to everyone. And then he was really enthusiastic about escaping. But every time he tried to escape, he was brought back. Now, we cannot imitate Raghunath Das Goswami. But we have so much to learn by understanding the level of his devotion. Prabhupada said, if you try to imitate these Goswamis, you will die because you can't do it. They were superhuman. They were spiritual supermen, but for real, not just in the movies. There were 12 guards constantly surrounding Raghunath. But one night, in the middle of the night, because Raghunath was not, he wouldn't even sleep in his house anymore. He would sleep in the Durga Mandap, which is in a courtyard. And one night, Yadu Nandan, the family guru, he came to Raghunath. Because Raghunath was so expert at everything he did. He was so sensitive. Because he deeply cared so much about everything he did. He said, the priest of my temple has left his service. Can you go talk to him and bring him back? Raghunath said, I'll go right away. It's the middle of the night. Everyone was sleeping. Yadu Nandan said, I'll come with you. He says, yes, yes, come. And they started walking, and Raghunath told Yadu Nandan, actually, you take rest. It's late. I'll go myself. I'll take care of it. So Yadu Nandan went to take rest. And Raghunath, as far as we know, he did settle the things with the pujari. It doesn't say he did or not, but we assume. And then he disappeared into the jungle. And he walked all night long. But he didn't walk toward Puri, because he knew that's where the guards would go. He walked in a different direction. Not on a main road, but through very, very isolated forest pathways. And after walking all night long, the next day he went to a cow shed and got a little milk from a cow and then kept walking. And it took about 12 days to get to Puri. And he only got food 3 days. Meanwhile, the next morning, nobody could find Raghunath. The guards were everywhere. They couldn't find him. And Govardhan and Hiranya, Raghunath's father and uncle, they asked Yadu Nandan Acharya, have you seen Raghunath? He said, oh yes, yes, I took him from your house last night. He went to go preach to somebody. Was gone. And after a couple weeks, he finally reached Puri. And he bowed down from a distance to Lord Chaitanya. And one of Lord Chaitanya's associates said, there is Raghunath. And Lord Chaitanya said, please come. And he embraced him. And put him under the personal care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And in this way, for many, many years, Raghunath Das Goswami lived in Puri as the servant of Lord Chaitanya's servant. And being the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would hear all the wonderful stories or pastimes of Lord Chaitanya's activities every day. He would be the keeper of the diary of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was with the Lord 24 hours a day as his personal secretary. And he would see so many of the most beautiful, beautiful expressions of love for Krishna with his own eyes. He was there. And there were different stages of Raghunath's renunciation. For some time, his parents were sending him money, and he was making a feast for the devotees once a month. But then after some time, he stopped doing that because he was thinking that this is not what Lord Chaitanya wants. And he was begging just for a little from the people who came out of Jagannath's temple. But then he stopped even doing that. And he would just go to these free food booths and live like that. And Lord Chaitanya asked Govinda, Swarup Damodar Goswami, I don't even see him doing that anymore. What's he doing? It was a secret. Would you like to know the secret? Most of you know the secret. Jagannath's rice. It was sold by the different priests and relatives of the priests around the temple. And that which was not sold was given to the free charity booths. And that which was spoiled from being around too long was brought to a certain place near one of the gates of Jagannath Temple where the garbage was kept. And they would dump it there and the cows would come to eat it. Even today that pile is there. And you'll always see so many cows eating rice there. And the rice that was so rotten that the cows didn't eat it, the cows would chew and spit it out. And at night, that's all that was left on that hill. The cows went to sleep, and Raghunath would go there and pick up that rice and wash it and take the little hard part from the middle of it and eat that. And nobody in the world knew he was doing this except Krishna in his heart. It's not that he had, like, you know, one of those cameras on an iPhone or something that has two sides and you face it and he's there like... And then he'd post it on Facebook. But this is what I'm eating, only the rice that the cows spit out. See how renounced I am. He did it in the middle of the night so nobody in the entire world knew how he was eating. He just pretended to be eating like everyone else. But Lord Chaitanya found out about it from Swarup Damodar Goswami. So one day, Lord Chaitanya came right into Raghunath's little hut where he was staying, right at the time he was about to eat his cow prasad. Nice, special. Somebody's awake. And as soon as Lord Chaitanya came in, Raghunath hid the bowl. And Lord Chaitanya said to Raghunath, I heard that you are eating very, very luxurious, delicious prasad food. Why are you not sharing it with me? Raghunath said, no. He was so humble. He said, no, it's not like that. And Lord Chaitanya said, give me some of what you're eating. He said, no, I don't have any. And he said, give me some. He said, no. And Lord Chaitanya had very long arms. He reached around Raghunath to behind him and snatched the bowl. And Raghunath said, no, this is not, you cannot eat this. It's not proper for you. And Lord Chaitanya ate. He took a morsel and went into ecstasy. And then he went to take another morsel. And Swarup Damodar Goswami snatched the bowl away from him and said, no, this is not fit for you, my lord. This is not fit for you. Lord Chaitanya said, I have tasted the best prasad of Jagannath. I have tasted so many delicious sabjis and cakes and sweets and drinks and chutneys and everything. But never have I tasted anything so delicious as what Raghunath Das is eating. Mahaprabhu Bhaktivagir, there's a beautiful verse. Mahaprabhu Bhaktaganir Vairagyataya. That Lord Chaitanya when he sees the renunciation of love of his devotees, he becomes very happy. Lord Chaitanya was tasting Raghunath Das Goswami's love. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Krishna tells in Gita, even if you offer me a little fruit, a flower, or water with devotion, I will accept it. But here we find Raghunath wasn't even offering it. Because he was doing this out of his love. It was the nature of his love to completely absorb himself in the Lord's service. He wanted nothing for himself. Cannot imitate. Lord Chaitanya was so hungry for Raghunath's love, he actually snatched it. It wasn't even offered. That was the power of Raghunath's devotion. Lord Chaitanya, his most precious possession was a Shalagram Shila that one sannyasi had brought back from Vrindavan and given to him. A Govardhan Shila. Lord Chaitanya would wear that Govardhan Shila for many years around his neck. And when he would be in his deepest ecstasies of Sri Radha's love for Krishna, Lord Chaitanya would take that Govardhan Shila and put it on his forehead, press it to his heart. It is said that that Govardhan Shila, which is Krishna himself, was constantly covered with the tears of Lord Chaitanya's love. Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who's tasting the sweetness of Radha's love. Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Radha and he was seeing that Shila as her beloved Krishna. It was the most sacred, precious thing that he had. And he gave that Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami. And he had a gunjamala of small seeds from Vrindavan that were given to him that represent Srimati Radharani. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that gunjamala to Raghunath Das Goswami. And then he told Swarup Ramara Goswami and Govinda to bring him every day certain sweets to offer so that he could offer to his Govardhan. Because obviously he didn't want his Govardhan offered that cow rice. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Raghunath Das Goswami with a treasure that was infinitely greater than his father and uncle, the Premadan, the treasure of love. After many years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from the world. Raghunath Das Goswami was with him for about 18 years. And then Swarup Ramara Goswami soon after also departed from this mortal world. And Raghunath Das Goswami went to Vrindavan. And there he met Rupan Sanatan Goswami. He actually met Lord Chaitanya before Rupan Sanatan Goswami. The first Goswami to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I believe, was Raghunath Das Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Yes. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he he instructed Rupa and Sanatan to remain in Vrindavan. And Raghunath thus did not even want to live without his beloved guru and lord. But Rupa and Sanatan Goswami told him, no, you should stay with us, because no one but you knows these most intimate personal stories of Lord Chaitanya's activities in Puri. So they gave him a place at Radhakund. At the time, Radhakund was just recently before discovered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an ancient place where there were just two little paddy fields with ponds of water that were originally Radha and Krishna's favorite places for their pastimes in the Braj Bhumi area. Raghunath would just sleep on the banks of this little pond in this paddy field, and all day long he would chant the holy names of the Lord. It's described, one day Sanatan Goswami was traveling around Braj Bhumi and he came to Radhakund and he saw Raghunath with his eyes closed, totally absorbed in chanting the holy names. And there was a tiger just a few feet away from him, drinking the water from the pond. And Raghunathas didn't even see him. He was just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And this gigantic tiger was right beside him drinking water. And Sanatana Goswami became very concerned. Tigers can be quite unpredictable. And then he saw Krishna appeared with a stick standing between Raghunath and the tiger, ready to protect him. Then the tiger went away, and Krishna smiled at Sanatan, and he went away. And meanwhile, Raghunath was so sorry, Krishna was chanting. Sanatan Goswami said, Krishna came to save you. You're supposed to be serving Krishna, and Krishna's coming to serve you. Raghunath was very embarrassed. And then it is said another time, sometime later, Sanatan Goswami was coming that way, and it was the summertime. It was really hot. Actually, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, one of the hottest places on the planet Earth is Govardhan during the summer. And Raghunath was no trees, just on the banks of the pond chanting. And the sun was blazing hot. And when Sanatan passed by, he saw Srimati Radharani. She was standing directly in the sun and holding her sari to give shade to Raghunath Das Goswami. And then Srimati Radhika smiled upon Sanatan and disappeared. And Raghunath was Hare Krishna. And Sanatan Goswami said, you are chanting this Maha Mantra. And the whole spirit of chanting is, oh Sri Radha, Sri Krishna, please engage me in your service. And you are engaging them in your service. You should make a little hut, not for yourself, but for Krishna, so that he doesn't have to come and serve you at Radharani. And do your bhajan in a kutir. So Raghunath Das Goswami allowed Sanatan Goswami to build a little bhajan kutir for him. And that was the first bhajan kutir of the Goswamis on the banks of Radhakund. Now one day he was thinking, it would be nice to excavate Radhakund. Then pilgrims from all around could come here and understand the holiness of this place. But then he was thinking, how am I thinking like this? I already left behind all this billions and billions of dollars of treasures, and now I'm just living it as a Goswami, and I'm thinking of collecting money again? So he put that idea out of his mind. But Krishna was in his heart. And there was a very wealthy person who was going to Badrikashram to build a temple for Badrinath in the Himalayas. And that man went up to the Himalayas to give all his money for this temple, and he had a dream where Badri Vishal, the deity of Badrinath, he said, if you want to please me, bring all that money and excavate Radhakund for Raghunath Das Goswami. So he came down and told the story to Raghunath Das Goswami, and he actually helped to plan out, under his direction, the whole renovation of Shamakund and Radhakund, very similar to what we see today. And there were so many incredible pastimes that took place in the process of that. Raghunath Das Goswami lived the rest of his life there. And every day, for about 3 hours, on the banks of Sri Radhakund, he would narrate the beautiful stories of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and his teachings, like no one else knew. Not only from what he had seen, but Raghunath Das Goswami had the diary of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Each day he would speak. And there was one very old devotee, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He would sit in Raghunath Das Goswami's lectures every day without fail. And with his little notebook, like Vaisheshika Prabhu always has his notebook with him. And if he ever hears anything that inspires him or that he thinks will inspire all of you, he'll immediately take out his book and start writing. He's following in the footsteps of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. See, this book is right there. And one of the greatest honors is when you say something. If you ever get this honor, your life will never be the same. If you say something, and Vaisheshika Prabhu takes out his book and writes it. For me, that's like being accepted by Prabhupada and Krishna. In my case, he's probably correcting what I've said. Raghunath Das Goswami, with such love, with such philosophical precision, and with such historical accuracy, he was presenting what he and Swarup Damodar Goswami saw with their eyes and heard with their ears and felt with their hearts. Could you imagine being at those classes every day? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote it all down. And later on, the various Goswamis of Vrindavan asked Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to write the biography and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishnadas Kaviraj did not feel qualified. But after receiving the blessings and the instructions of so many devotees, he went to Madan Mohan Temple and asked Sri Madan Mohanji, "Do I have your blessings?" And immediately the priest took off the garland. The garland fell from Madan Mohan, and he came and placed it on Krishnadas Kaviraj. And all the devotees went, "Hadivo." Confirmation, you are the author. Kaviraj Goswami, from what he had heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, which was from the notebooks of Murari Gupta in the Navadvip Leela, and from the notes of Swarup Damodar in the Puri Leela, he wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Prabhupada considered this so important. Srila Prabhupada was living at Jiva Goswami's temple of Radha Damodar at the Seva Kunj in Vrindavan. And it was there that he began writing the translations and purports of Srimad Bhagavatam. He wrote the first canto. And with the published editions, he came to America. And gradually, while he was traveling around the world, when everyone else was sleeping at night, he would be awake for hours and hours, translating and writing purports to the second canto and the third canto. There's 12 cantos, 18,000 verses. This is Srila Prabhupada's. It was his calling to translate the Srimad Bhagavatam. But right in the middle, he decided it was so crucial that the devotees, in order to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam properly, must know the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So while doing Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, was it 17 volumes, Chaitanya Charitamrita originally? Srila Prabhupada translated from the original classical Bengali language with elaborate purports, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. What was spoken by Raghunath Das Goswami and written with deep spiritual realizations by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And Vaisheshika Prabhu was giving them out to the people all over the world. And Satyadeva and Akuranath and Nirakula and Kankav, all these great devotees were distributing these beautiful books to the people of the world. Srila Prabhupada told that his purports were his transcendental ecstasies. He put his heart, his soul, and he put the revelations and the the wisdom and mercy of all the great acharyas throughout the entire parampara, he presented that in his books. It was his heart and his soul to present those books. And then he gave us such an opportunity to distribute that love, the love of Krishna, the love of Nityananda and Mahaprabhu, Srimati Radharani and Krishna, the love and the grace and the wisdom of all the previous acharyas coming through Srila Prabhupada's compassion is manifesting in those books. And we have the chance to associate with all these great souls as we read them. And we have a chance to share this treasure with the world. And here in ISV, did I say it correct? Here in ISV, you are setting such a standard throughout the world of your enthusiasm to assist in this wonderful project. Raghunath Das Goswami, he represents in our lives the highest, deepest revelation of pure love. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he concludes that he bows down with all humility at the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and begs for their mercy. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, in the mood of Raghunath Das Goswami, he begins one's chapter by saying, I bow down to the feet of every single devotee, the advanced paramhamsas and the new beginners, and I beg for their mercy. And in another beautiful introduction to a chapter, he writes that how he bows down to all the readers. He gives all credit for the Chaitanya Charitamrita to all the people who are going to read it. And in another place he said, I am suffering from the boils of... I'm suffering from the disease of the material infection and the boils due to envy. But in this state, I fall at the feet of the great physician, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and beg for his mercy. You see, in this spirit, he's revealing the humility of his heart. If we think we're the doer, then all we could do is what we could do. But if we take that humble position, then the Supreme Lord, the Gurus, and the great souls, their grace can freely flow through us to do what is impossible. And that is the potential within all of us. Thank you very much. He is writing something. How may I serve you? Would anyone like to ask any questions about anything? Yes.
Maharaj, why does Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami offer obeisances only to Rupa and Raghunath at the end of each chapter? Why was he impressed only with these two Goswamis? Why not all six or five Goswamis?
He was not only impressed by these two. If you water the root of the tree reaches every part of the tree. So by offering his love and respect to the two people that inspired him most in his life in pure bhakti, his gurus, then that reaches Krishna. And like the root of the tree when it's water, it goes to every living being. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, as we cited, he was offering his obeisances to every devotee. He was offering obeisances to every living being. But the way we do that is to those who inspire us most in our bhakti. To those who have given their hearts and souls to give us bhakti. By offering obeisance to them, we become empowered to actually be a vessel of their love. To offer our love to all living beings. Does that answer your question?
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
You're welcome.
So Maharaj, you said that Raghunath Das Goswami, when he saw Haridas Thakur, he wanted to have the treasure that Haridas Thakur had. But when we are in the association of devotees and hear nice lectures from pure devotees like you, we aspire for that. But when it comes to reality and we associate with the peers, amongst the devotees, the moment we see others being appreciated, soon the envy comes, and then maybe the philosophical thought comes and we calm down. But what do we do that we overcome this bias of envy and get the real treasure of Krishna consciousness in our day-to-day dealings with the devotees and practice these principles?
Beautiful question. Thank you. When envy arises within our heart, we should recognize it for what it is. It's a disease. And we shouldn't get depressed about it, because if you have a disease, you don't get depressed. You just cure it. Yes? If you have a cold, you don't just, oh, I have a cold, the world is against me. You just go on with your work and take the medicine, right? And you don't do things that are going to aggravate the cold. So when we understand these anartas of selfish lust, envy, selfish greed, anger, arrogance. These are all symptoms of a disease. So we don't act upon them. The problem is when we think the envy is our friend. And we follow their dictations. yes, this envy is the truth. This envy is my friend, and I will speak according to its dictations, and I will act according to its dictations. No, it's a disease. I'm not going to give in to it. I'm going to act in a healthy way, not in a diseased way. And I'm going to take the medicine of Sravanam Kirtanam, of hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna and associating with Krishna's devotees. Take this medicine of bhakti to cure the disease of envy. So actually, it's very auspicious. When that arises in your hearts, you understand how much you really need to improve. And you can actually take... Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in the verse itself, is saying, I take shelter when I see these things. And they actually, even our envy becomes our friend if it helps us to take shelter of the Lord, to overcome it. Does that make sense? But that's natural. We all have those things. It's nothing to feel depressed about. It's just the reality. We've been in this world for many lifetimes, and we've accumulated many of these anarthas or unwanted things. And when they come, we understand this is a disease. It's not a healthy condition. I shouldn't give in to these things. I should take shelter of the Lord and give in to what will actually cure it. When we're envious, we want to criticize people. Yes? You know what the cure is? To speak nicely about them. It's a bitter medicine, but it cures the disease. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Kulinagram, one person came to him. He was a Brahmin. He said, with my mouth I blasphemed, criticized, ridiculed so many devotees. But now I understand that it's a disease. But I've already done it. Now what? And Lord Chaitanya, the great physician, he gave a prescription. He said, criticizing others is like taking poison with your mouth. But glorifying others with your heart, not just praise to get something from them, but appreciating others, is like drinking and chanting the holy names. These two things are like drinking nectar with your mouth. Nectar counteracts poison. So stop drinking the poison with your mouth, and with the same mouth, praise the holy names of Krishna and praise the Lord's devotees. Now, when we're envious, it's pretty painful to say something good about somebody. Yes? But it's really, really powerful medicine that cures that envy from our heart. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Yes. Of course, the nature of envy, when it makes partnership with the ego, the ahankar, is we don't think we're envious. We think we are defenders of the truth. I'm not envious. This person is a rat. This person is a rascal. This person is a cheater. This person is a rogue. This person is ruining everything. I'm not envious. I am simply defending the truth. Yes? Hare Krishna. But that's what happens when the envy and the ego make partnership. But to recognize to step back from the passion of the situation and understand, this is not good for me. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the only reason I find faults with others is because I'm honeycombed with faults. The world is a mirror of our own consciousness. If we see good in ourselves, we're going to see the potential good everywhere. If we're full of faults, we're going to see them everywhere and impose them on everyone. Of course, there are people with faults. But we're to be their well-wishers. We're not supposed to try to destroy them. When a doctor sees a fault in someone, it's to help them. And a devotee, even when we see faults with others, Prabhupada was sometimes quite heavy. But he was heavy to protect us with compassion. Like a doctor. But in order to do that right, you can't have envy in your heart. You can't have ego in your heart. That's why he could do it so well. But when we try to take his role and just smash people, it doesn't work. Because we're probably doing it out of envy, not out of compassion. And we're probably doing it out of ego rather than humility. So we have to be very careful. Yes.
Maharaj, I have a question, and the question is like, because of power, there may be some ambitions within oneself to do something in life, and then one becomes a devotee and then he understands Krishna consciousness. So then how does one look at these ambitions which are there in his heart? And should he give up the ambitions, or how he should see to it that he puts it in Krishna conscious way, or how does he go about with his ambitions? So I just wanted to clarify.
You are speaking about ambitions to accomplish something in this world?
Yeah, because before becoming a devotee, we have this kind of ambitions. And when we become a devotee, these ambitions are still there in the heart. And it's not easy to give up.
Which ambitions? Please be a little more specific.
Ambitions to be doing certain projects, being successful in certain things. They can be material, you know, and then after becoming a devotee, the thoughts become like this, that can we become successful, can we make it successful in Krishna conscious way? So can we make it successful in a Krishna conscious way? Such thoughts are coming up, you know, then what to do with those ambitions?
Srila Prabhupada gave a very sweet, special formula that we should Krishna-ize our ambitions. That means our ambitions, if they can be favorably used for Krishna's service, we can pursue them with our full determination, enthusiasm, and powers. But our purpose is to do it with integrity, and the results of what we gain for it, we utilize in such a way that's pleasing to Krishna. We were speaking this afternoon, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, our god brother, was there. And he loves to tell the story of George Harrison of the Beatles. You have to be quite ambitious to accomplish what the Beatles did. They were the number one band in the history of the modern world. They were traveling everywhere, they were making records, and everything they did was affecting tens of millions of people's lives. And George became a devotee in his heart. And he went to Prabhupada and asked if he should come and move into a temple, shave his head. And Prabhupada said, no, do what you're doing. You can dress the way you are, wear your hair the way you do, and write music, and play music, and with great ambition, spread it around the world. But through your music, try to elevate people's consciousness. And that will be a great thing. And he did that. And hundreds of millions of people, practically, were touched with Krishna's grace by his efforts. Whether we're in business, technology, science, Srila Prabhupada had some devotees run for political office. Yes, Balavanta, Amarendra, and those devotees, they were running for political office. It was called the In God We Trust Party. And Prabhupada said, you can become president of the United States, no problem, if that's what it takes you to. But with that ambition, the ambition is to serve. The ambition is not motivated by greed, envy, or lust, selfishness. The ambition is motivated by seva, an expression of love, selfless service. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was motivating Arjuna to fight. Because that was his dharma, that was his occupation. He didn't tell him, become enlightened and give up all of these things. You see, this is where the balance is very important. We were speaking about Raghunath Das Goswami. Lord Chaitanya was happy. He left everything and came to be a renunciate. Arjuna wanted to do the same thing in his own way. And Krishna said, no, you're a married man, stay with your family. You're a military man, defend your country, defend the world on the principles of dharma. And Bhagavad Gita was spoken to a family man to motivate him with incredible ambition to perform his duty, to strive for success, but not to be attached to the results. Our attachment should be to the spirit of service in which it's offered. Does that answer your question? Yes? Is the time over or a follow-up question?
Maharaj, in Vaishnava tradition, there is like if a devotee wants to do something, then he takes a instruction from his guru or from higher Vaishnavas, senior Vaishnavas. So I was wondering to pursue certain ambition, one taking permission and blessings of senior Vaishnavas, I wanted some comment on this, because this is a Vaishnava tradition to take blessings and permission. So I just wanted to comment on this with relation to ambitions.
The blessings of people who love us and the blessings of great souls is the grace of God. And a devotee should always be eager for blessings. Those blessings can empower us, protect us, and inspire us. even the most difficult times. So it's the nature of humility to seek blessings, but the right blessings.
One last question.
Okay.
Hari Mam, sorry, he had it first.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the wonderful class. You spoke about the how Raghunath Das Goswami, he was progressively increasing his levels of renunciation, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very pleased. But on the other hand, we also see, like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, stressing the principle of Yukta Vairagya very much. I feel very confused how to balance out these two, and how should be the understanding of renunciation so that it is pleasing to Guru and Krishna.
Vaisheshika Prabhu specifically ordered me to speak on Raghunath Das Goswami, and that's all he did is renounce stuff. Happy to answer your question. Yukta Vairagya, the principle Rupa Goswami teaches, is if we have something that can be used in Krishna's service for the welfare of the world, then to give it up is incomplete renunciation. Complete renunciation is to use what we have. We may have musical skills, we may have academic skills, we may have our Priya Kishori has dancing skills, we may have cooking skills, we may have wealth or the ability to make wealth, we may be a scientist. Prabhupada engaged Sadaputta and Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. They were scientists. He didn't say give up science. Use it for Krishna. Ambarish, Alfred Brush Ford, the great grandson of Henry Ford. Prabhupada didn't say, go to Radhakund and a kutir and give up your money. He said, use that wonderful money for Krishna. He bought beautiful temples in Hawaii and Detroit. George Harrison, you're a musician, play for Krishna. Yukta Vairagya, there are so many examples where we could use our talents, and when we understand the spirit of devotional service, we use them in harmony with Krishna's will. To enlighten others. But there are some people, and the greatest way that they can serve, like Raghunath Das Goswami, is to set this example. But you see, today there are limitless people inspired by the nature of Raghunath Das Goswami's love, hopefully even all of you, and that spirit that he had, that was so intense, that was so high, that was so unapproachable to us, we can take that spirit of unselfish love, of the will to value the treasure of service, and sadhana, the chanting of the holy names. He chanted minimum 200,000 names every day. You may not be able to do that, but we could take the spirit. And yes, his practicing of the principles of bhakti, it described, were like the lines in stone. No matter how much you try to erase, it goes right through. We can't do that. But we can chant 16 rounds every day. We can't renounce eating everything and eat just the stuff the cow spit out. But we can eat prasad. And we could follow the four regulative principles. That's the spirit of following Raghunath Das Goswami in the mood of Yukta Vairagya. So this story should inspire us. He could do it to such an extreme with such love. And we can apply that spirit to our life and be a good father or a good husband with respect for our family members. He was respecting everybody and everything. Raghunath Das Goswami was offering 100,000 obeisances to devotees every day. Right? Was it 2,000, was it? I'm sorry, it wasn't 100. Was it 2,000? 2,000, yes. 100,000 is... He was chanting 200,000. He was bowing down to 2,000 devotees a day. And if he didn't see 2,000, he would do to the same one again and again. Now, if we did that, it would be very artificial. But at least we could respect our mother and our father and our sister and our brother and our wife and our children and our godbrothers and other living beings. It's the spirit of Raghunath Das Goswami. The spirit of respect. The spirit of valuing our sadhana, our spiritual practices, very seriously. The spirit of morality. We may not be able to give up sense gratification the way he did, but at least we could give up those things that are very harmful to our spiritual life. Yes? That's Yukta Vairagya. And use our eyes and our ears and our nose and our tongue and our hands and our brains and our hearts and our wealth and everything else in a way that's an offering of love to God. To Krishna. Does that answer your question?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Please.